तेजस्वीनांदतु सहोभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
John chapter 4, verses 28 to 32.
Dravya yajnastapo yajnaha, Dravya yajnastapo yajnaha, Yoga yajnastatapare, Yoga yajnastatapare, Swadhyaya jnana yajnascha, Swadhyaya jnana yajnascha, Yataya samshita vrataha, Yataya samshita vrataha, Dravya yajnastapo yajnaha, Yoga yajnastapare, तदापरे स्वाध्याय ज्ञान यज्ञाश्च यदय संशित व्रताः अपानेजुपति प्राणम् अपानेजुपति प्राणम् प्राणेपानं तथापरे प्राणेपानं तथापरे प्राणापानगतिरुद्वा प्राणापानगतिरुद्वा प्राणायामपरायणाः प्राणायामपरायणाः अपानेजुवति प्राणम् प्राणे प्राणं तथापरे प्राणापानगतिरुद्वा प्राणायामपरायणाः अपरे नियताहाराः अपरे नियताहाराः प्राणान् प्राणेषु जुह्वति प्राणान् प्राणेषु जुह्वति सर्वेप्येते यज्ञविदः सर्वेप्येते यज्ञविदः यज्ञक्षमितकल्मषाः यज्ञक्षमितकल्मषाः अपरे नियताहाराः प्राणान् प्राणेषु जुह्वति सर्वेप्येते यज्ञविदः यज्ञक्षमितकल्मषाः यज्ञशिष्टामृतभुजः यज्ञशिष्टामृतभुजः याति ब्रह्मसनातनम् याति ब्रह्मसनातनम् नायं लोकोऽस्य यज्ञस्य नायं लोकोऽस्य यज्ञस्य कुतो न्यः कुरु सत्तमः कुतो न्यः कुरु सत्तमः यज्ञशिष्टामृतभुजः याति ब्रह्मसनातनम् नायं लोकोऽस्य यज्ञस्य कुतो न्यः कुरु सत्तमः एवं बहुविधा यज्ञाः एवं बहुविधा यज्ञाः विदधा ब्रह्मणो मुखे विदधा ब्रह्मणो मुखे कर्मजान् विद्धितां सर्वान् कर्मजान् विद्धितां सर्वान् एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे एवं बहुविधा यज्ञाः विदधा ब्रह्मणो मुखे कर्मजान् विद्धितां सर्वान् एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष्यसे। We have come up to verse 28, and from verses 25 to 28, in fact from 25 to 30 he is giving 12 yajñas. We have seen about 10 yajñas from verses 25 to 28. In 24 he talked about a person performing the ritual with Brahma Buddhi. I mentioned to you Adi Shankara talks about the word as the cause-effect relationship, basically. Karaka means, what Karaka means? The
cause.
If you have Karaka Buddhi, if you have Kartrutva Buddhi, when you do an action, the action will have phalam. The phalam will be punya-atma. But if you are Brahma Buddhi, when you do an action, then the fruit of punya and papa is not there. Therefore, there is no question of you taking birth. So, this is the gist here. With that Brahma Buddhi, you do all your actions. In the case of a jnani, he does the actions spontaneously with the Brahma Buddhi. In the case of a sadhak, he does the actions as a sadhana for the realization of Brahman. He does it as a yajna. So this whole portion from 25 to 30, he talks about converting actions into worship. Converting each and every activity into a sadhana. You may be doing something, but when it is dedicated for the sake of gaining knowledge or atma, then it becomes spiritual. Otherwise, it remains mundane. So, how to convert each and every activity into worship is this portion. So, in 29, he said, some people perform yajna for devatas, what we call as daiva yajna. You want to fulfill certain desires, and to that respective devata, the corresponding devata, you offer the rituals, prayers, and the devata blesses you with the desired object. I told you, you understand that you have to ultimately rise above desires, but at the moment, you are not free from desires. Therefore, only with an idea of rising above desires, you do the ritual, not to simply fulfill your desires and multiply your desires. In the Vedas, though they talk about various rituals to fulfill your desires, it is not to multiply the desires, but to generally fulfill the desires in a dharmic way and get fulfilled from them and rise above them. So you do Deva Yajna. Then he talked about Brahma Yajna or Jnana Yajna. In fact, out of the 12 yajnas, 11 yajnas are preparatory. The 12th yajna, jnana yajna, ultimately leads you to realization or liberation. The direct means for liberation is jnana. But you need to have the mental development to be able to gain the knowledge. So all the other sadhanas are indirect means to develop your inner personality to be able to gain the jnana. And ultimately you gain the jnana and liberate yourself. So 11 yajnas are preparatory yajnas. The 12th yajna is the direct means, which is jnana yajna, which he gives second. First he gives deva yajna, then he gives brahma yajna, jnana yajna. Then he talked about dhamma yajna, sense control. Sense control means what? I told you earlier the example, you are riding a horse, and if the horse is going in the wrong direction, not in the direction in which you want it to go, then you pull the reins and direct it in the right path. So control means when your senses are going in the wrong directions which are not conducive for the achievement of your goal, you pull them back. Then Vishaya Grahana Yajna or Vishaya Bhoga Yajna, which means you allow your senses to go in the areas and register the perceptions which are helpful for you to achieve the goal. So you are not against sense contacts, you only control, regulate it in the areas where it should not go, and you allow them to go in the areas where it should go, which is conducive for the growth of your personality. And that perception also you end with, end perception with perception, and don't indulge in them mentally. Then the fifth yajna, which is Shama Yajna or Atma Samyama Yajna. Shama Yajna, Atma Samyama Yajna is control of mind. Control of mind is you tackle the quantum of your vasanas, and you also tackle the quality of your vasanas, and you also direct your vasanas towards higher. You might not allow your senses to go into the wrong areas and unnecessarily put in the wrong impressions. But already existing impressions are there, already existing vasanas are there, The mind may start indulging in them. Now, controlling your mind from indulging in the existing vasanas is shamayam. After all this, we have seen 5 yajna so far. Daiva yajna, Brahma yajna, Dhamma yajna, Vishaya grahana yajna, Shama yajna. Then in verse 28, he talked about another 5 more yajnas, which we saw last week. The 5 yajnas that we saw last week are Dravya yajna, then Tapo yajna, then Yoga yajna, then Swadhyaya yajna, then Jnana yajna. Swamiji put Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna as one category. Therefore, he says 4 yajnas covered in this verse. Some people say Swadhyaya separate, Jnana separate. Really does not. In fact, it is not as though there are only 12 sadhanas. There are many, many more sadhanas. He is only covering the entire range of received reaction and response just to tell us that all these should be converted into sadhana. Right? So, Dravya Yajna means what? Sacrificing material wealth. In fact, Dravya Yajna is also called as Dhyana Yajna. Dhyana. Dhyana Yajna. You sacrifice food, material wealth, clothes. Basically, you understand that this world is nothing but based on the value of interdependence. It's a flow. It's a cycle, it's a circulation and not a stagnation. Right? In fact, the more you give, the more you receive. If you, without knowledge, out of ego, try to take more from the world, you will find the world takes more from you. If with knowledge you surrender your ego and give more, you will be blessed with more. Like Jesus Christ says, empty thyself, I shall fill thee. Even breath, you breathe out to be able to breathe in. Right? So, basically if you understand that everything in this life is a cycle. The rivers receive water from the mountain and then they give it to the ocean. Ocean gives it back to the clouds and clouds gives it to the mountain. It's a cycle. If we try to retain it and stagnate it, then we putrefy. There's a saying which says, where wealth accumulates, men decay. Men means women also. Because predominantly it is ladies class here, I am mentioning this. Where wealth accumulates doesn't mean that you become wealthy, you will purify. Where wealth accumulates, meaning when one tries to hold on, not pass it on, not circulate it. You understand? Lakshmi belongs only to Narayana. But if you try to hold on to Lakshmi in your house, she says bye bye to you. But if you say, I will serve Narayana, where is Narayana?
Everywhere.
Narayana is everywhere. So serving Narayana means serving the entire world. When you function in the spirit of Yajna, serving Narayana, then Lakshmi continues to be with you because Narayana is with those who serve. And Lakshmi belongs to Narayana, Lakshmi continues to be with you, then you become Lakshmi Narayana. You understand? So therefore, it is circulation and not stagnating it. So you understand that and you do Dhana Yajna. Now this Dhana Yajna is also not done for the sake of Punya. A lot of people do it for the sake of Punya. Then strictly speaking it doesn't fall under Yajna. You doing it to get something in return. You understand? You clearly understand that you are part of the total and with that spirit you offer to the world. And whatever comes out of it, you enjoy. So Dravya Yajna, you sacrifice your wealth to kindle the wealth of everyone. So in this context, I told last week, I talked about customer support in the organization. Generally, there are 3 things. Employee, the employer and the customer. These are the words we use. Customer is one who buys your product. The employer is one who has invested the money. The employee is the one who is working in the organization. How the attitude should be, if you really want to give the best and have the best organization, it is in changing the attitude. Customer, if he doesn't buy your product, then your company cannot continue its existence. So honestly speaking, who employs you?
That's customer.
So you look at the customer as the employer. Then in that case, who is the employer who has put in the money? He is the investor. He understands that he is being blessed with some money, and that he is giving it back to the society, which gives employment to few more people. Then who are the employees? They are service providers. You understand? So thus, the investor and the service provider together with the customer, they continue this cycle. Thus, the company organization is blessed with profit potential, which is shared by everybody. Then you are running your organization in net cash flow. Otherwise, you say, I have put in this much money, I should double it, triple it, make it 10 times more. So I have done this, I have put this, I have to squeeze these people to get maximum for myself. With this attitude when you function, then it is not done in the ignas. So dhana jagnya, you understand, you offer your wealth, and wealth need not necessarily be only money, it could be anything. You have ashtalakshmis, dhairyam, dhanya, everything. You invest your wealth for the welfare of the total. Remember, yajna, Lord Krishna defined it as loka sangraha. So, what is yajna means? Yajna simply means functioning in the spirit of spoke in the wheel of life. I am a spoke in the wheel of life. Just like how there are various parts in your body doing what they are supposed to do as part of the total system. The ecosystem of the body is taken care of, which means each and every part is taken care of, and they function normally, and when they are functioning normally, their presence is not known. Then suddenly, when a particular part says, I will take more, then it starts making its presence known, which means it is functioning abnormally. So when you also understand this, in the total ecosystem, I am a part, and that part which I am supposed to be playing, I play with no prefix or suffix, then it is yajna. Yajna doesn't mean you have to go do some work for the village or something. That is also, if you can do, please do. But ultimately realizing your role and playing it without any prefix or suffix. If you see in the nature, animals do what they are supposed to do. Like J. Krishnamurti ji says, animals are unconsciously perfect. And he says human beings are consciously imperfect. The education must make human beings consciously perfect. There is a DVD released by Al Gore called Inconvenient Truth. I don't know whether you've seen it, I've seen it, you must watch it. I have the DVD, we can watch it once together also. It's an amazing DVD. It talks about global warming. Who is responsible for global warming? Animals or human beings? Human beings. Because animals simply do what they are supposed to. Now, any TV is talking about saving the tigers. Now, going on destroying tigers without understanding the role tiger plays in our existence. There was an article in one of the newspapers here a few years ago. They talked about this dengue fever and chikungunya. I believe it is caused by a particular variety of mosquito which is bred in the fresh water stagnation. You know, when it rains, or in Delhi especially, they use this because of air coolers. So the fresh water, when they stagnate, in that the mosquitoes lay their eggs. And the mosquitoes bred in that are the cause for dengue and chikungunya. Those days, earlier days, you saw when rain comes and the water stagnates here and there on the roads, immediately you see tadpoles in. The tadpoles go into the bath and they eat up all the eggs laid by the mosquitoes. Now, no tadpoles, no frogs, nothing you find. I don't know what is the reason, maybe the acidic rain or what it is, you don't find them. So we suffer from the disease of dengue, etc. In nature, every animal, every being is created with a purpose. This is what John Milton says, they also serve who stand and wait. In the Vedas, they say, firstly, don't cut trees. If you have to, for whatever reason, make sure you planted thousands of trees. Right? So, in other words, we understand that we are part of the ecosystem. Beautifully, it is orchestrated. It's a cosmos and not a chaos. So, if you really understand this, then you just be a part. You receive that much for survival and keep on contributing and receive, contributing, receive. We saw this in verse 11, chapter 3. Parasparam bhavayantaha. Remember, nourish the gods and may those gods nourish you. We studied this in verse 11, chapter 3. It's continuing the same thing here. So, perform dravya yajna. Whatever wealth you have, dedicate it for the welfare of the total. Then tapo yajna. What is tapas? Tapas involves two aspects basically. Conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels. Willfully, consciously, you conserve the energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels. And second aspect is directly conserve energy towards higher. For example, you practice mauna. You try to conserve unnecessary energy dissipation through gossiping, unnecessary talking. That's the idea of mauna. A lot of people without understanding this, they play dumb. That is not the idea. Having conserved the energy, you use that energy to direct it towards chanting of mantras or talking in the areas where you need to talk, etc. This is tapas. So tapas at all levels basically means consciously, with awareness, willfully, you conserve the energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels. You got to find out what they are for yourself. And you bring in control and direct that energy conserved towards higher. Right? That is tapas. So you do tapo yajna. You can do this tapas itself as yajna. Lot of people like Hiranyakashipu or Ravan, they did tapas, but they didn't do tapas as yajna. They did tapasya for gaining strength, for building upon their ego. You understand? They also did tapas, but it was not done as yajna. Education, for example, if it is right education, it should make you humble. If it is wrong education, then it will pump up your ego. Right? When your ego is pumped up, you become a Hiranyakashipu. You become a Ravana. Without powers, that fellow could not have done PhD or whatever. But in case the person turns into an egoistic person after the PhD and all that, I'm not saying everybody does, but in case, then he has become a heretic. He thinks in terms of how he can use the knowledge to benefit himself only, misusing the knowledge. Ultimately, he destroys himself. This is what these Puranic stories are trying to tell us. So tapas must be done in the spirit of yajna. I do tapas at the physical level to gain my physical strength, develop strength for my personality, only to invest it for the welfare of the world. You see, so I invest my physical strength, my physical contribution for welfare of the world. That is tapo yajna. Then the third one, which is yoga yajna. Yoga yajna is nothing but doing the ashtanga yoga as part yajna. Ashtanga yoga given by Patanjali Muni beautifully covers the entire panchakosha. A human being, sadhana of the panchakosha level, human being is covered by the atma, rather than the human being. The being is covered by five sheets. What are the five sheets? Annamaya kosha, which means food sheet, the grossest. Then pranamaya kosha, which means vital air sheet. Then manomaya kosha, which means mental sheet. Then vijnanamaya kosha, intellect sheet. Then anandamaya kosha, vasana sheet. These five sheets are covering the atma. By doing sadhana at all these levels, you remove these sheets and ultimately reach the atma, attain the atma, realize the self. So the Ashtanga Yoga, eight steps that he talks about, covers all this. First he talks about yama and niyama. Yama means control, doing or withdrawing what you ought not to be contacting in that area, you withdraw. Then niyama, doing what you should be doing, the disciplines. Then asana, physical exercises. Then pranayama, at the pranic level, right? Asana, pranayama. Then pratyahara, regulation, dhamma utensil. Then dharana, mind control, concentration. Then dhyana, meditation. Then realization, samadhi. Thus, those people who do yoga, ashtanga yoga, they also do it as yajna. Remember, just a gross example let me give you. If you want to keep your body healthy, just by keeping your body healthy, you are serving the world. What do you mean? How? When any negative element comes into the country also, first they will contact all those people who can be bribed or influenced. Isn't it? The fellows value, they will not contact. But they will contact all the negative elements. Thus, if you, similarly in your body also, if you are unhealthy, you become the source of spreading of the disease. Just by keeping healthy, you are actually serving the society. So, second level is using the health for the welfare of others. But first level is just to keep yourself healthy. Right? So you can do yoga yajna to keep your mind, intellect and body in yoga. Only then you will be able to offer it for the peace of others. If you yourself are not peaceful, what kind of service and peace can you give to your children or anybody else? If you are not able to manage yourself, what kind of management can you do at the organization level? No, sir. How can you go and manage people? Therefore, yoga is also done as a game. You understand? So you do yoga, means all these eight steps. Yoga is not just standing on your head. You understand? All these steps to be able to be in a position to offer that yoga, a service for establishing yoga to the rest of the world. As a sacrifice. So you offer your mind and intellect, your body for the welfare of the body and intellect of the rest. This is called yogi yajna. Then swadhyaya yajna. What is swadhyaya yajna? The Vedic mantras have intonation as well as effect on the intellect. The intonation is the effect on the mind, and the meanings are the effect on the intellect. So the adhyayana, meaning chanting of the Veda shlokas, which is nothing but sound vibrations, which is conducive for the mind. So these thoughts are nothing but subtle sound vibrations. So with certain chanting of mantras, certain vibrations produced by you, you try to bring in the effect at the mental level. So from childhood, they are taught to chant the Vedic mantras and memorize them. They every day do this chanting to memorize and continue to capture these sound vibrations in them. This is adhyayana. Then the second one is jnana yajna. What is that? That is the meanings. The meanings you capture through shravana, manana, nididhyasana. You sit down, study, reflect, and put it to practice constantly and try to convert the information into wisdom. This is jnana yajna. In fact, when I was talking about Karma Yoga in the third chapter, I talked about five obligatory duties mentioned in our shastras for the grihastha. Pancha Maha Yajnas. What are the Pancha Maha Yajnas that I talked about?
Deva, Pitra.
Deva Yajna, Manushya Yajna, Bhuta Yajna, Pitru Yajna, Rishi Yajna. Deva Yajna is the rituals done for the Devatas. Right? You must understand that you take care of the nature, nature takes care of you. Then, Manushya Yajna, your service to the rest of the humanity. Then Bhuta Yajna, your service to the rest of the birds, beasts, other beings basically, all beings. Then Pitru Yajna, to the ancestors, to the departed souls. Because at a sukshma level, they continue to exist. So to them, you do your offerings. Remember, spiritual education tries to develop a person, makes him wakeful, wakeful, grateful, thoughtful, and skillful. You understand? Daksha, he talks about. A person who is spiritually trained becomes a daksha, means skillful. Really speaking, spiritual education should make you wakeful. You should have the awareness of the Atma and function. Then grateful, gratitude. Then thoughtful. With thinking, you do the actions. And when you do the actions, you dynamically, skillfully do the work. Then you are a complete person. So, you do offer rituals and prayers for your ancestors as well. This develops your attitude of gratitude, right? And then Rishi Rinaha. The Rishis have given us the Vedas, the Bhagavad Gita, the scriptures basically. What is the service we do to them? Daily study of the scriptures. It is not daily study of the scripture, means just reading. Daily reading, reflecting and trying to lift the knowledge. The real Guru Dakshana you can give to your Guru is living your life according to the teachings of the scriptures. Yes.
Science, you said grateful,
grateful,
skillful.
Grateful, grateful,
skillful.
Thoughtful, skillful. You must do things after proper thinking. Not say that I will do actions and then think. Only then your actions will be skillful. If your actions have to be skillful, it should be underlined by all these three. Grateful, grateful and thoughtful. So when you go to school, in the school, the education should be giving you the information, fine. But along with that, it should give you all these three. Then you become skillful. Then you will be able to handle any stress. Yes. Supposing you have the mantra, some words, see, words carry meaning and vibration, right? In fact, when you use words, the word has a certain effect in the mind as well as the others. Are you with me? They are nothing but energy. So you make sure that you only give out positive energy. And also, it's not just the words, it's the thought also. Right? That is why kayena, vachena, by the body, by the speech, by the mind, manasa. At all levels, you do sadhana. See, it can be any mantra. It's not necessary you should do this mantra, that mantra. Mantra, japa basically. In fact, when a person is highly agitated, he is not able to study. If he studies and gives the knowledge, of course he will become peaceful. So you can't even go and study because he is not able to study now, he is already agitated. At that time, the other sadhanas are helpful for him, performing of yoga, right? Food control, japa especially. Japa yajna is very, very helpful in controlling your mind. You understand? It has certain positive vibration. And then, little bit, you cool down. Then you do study, reflection, which further cools you down. This is the idea. And a person is extremely agitated. He can't sit and focus in a class. Even sitting on studying is impossible. So after time, puja, japa, these are very helpful. No, going for pilgrimage, japa yajna, doing some puja, all these other sadhanas, performance of yoga, pranayama, quietens the mind a little bit. Then he can do a little bit of study, which further quietens the mind. That's how it should be. That is why all these sadhanas are discussed. No doubt, ultimately, what is needed for ignorance is knowledge. Just like what is needed to remove darkness is light. But then you can't directly go to jnana without the other sadhanas. So there are five yajnas spoken in verse number 28. Dravya yajna, tapo yajna, Yoga Yajna, Swadhyaya Yajna, Jnana. So total 10 yajnas. Now let's go to verse number 29.
Apanejuvati pranam Pranipanam tatapare Pranapanagati rudva Pranayama parayanaha Apanejuvati pranam Pranipanam tatapare Pranapanagati rudva Pranayama parayanaha
Yet another offer has sacrificed prana into apana, apana into prana. Restraining the courses of prana and apana, some are absorbed in pranayama. Prana ayama means control of breath.
Prana ayama means control of breath,
regulation of breath. Now, this is talking about pranayama yajna. Offering prana into apana, apana into prana. All this talk basically talking about pranayama yajna.
There are three aspects in pranayama. What are they? Puraka, Rechaka and Kumbhaka.
Puraka, Rechaka, Kumbhaka. What is Puraka?
Inhalation.
You inhale. The emphasis is in inhalation. In Puraka. Right? Purna means full. You fill yourself with prana. You inhale. That leads to exhalation. Right? Then the next one is Rechaka. Where you emphasis is on exhalation.
Then where is the emphasis on Kumbhakam?
Holding.
Retention. Retention of the breath. Right? Kumbhakam.
Kumbhakam. You do Kumbhakam when you after inhale. You do Kumbhakam after exhale. The Kumbhakam that you do after inhalation is called Antara Kumbhakam. The Kumbhakam that you do after exhalation is called Bhagya Kumbhakam. In fact, these are things that you need to learn and practice from a yoga, properly trained yoga teacher. You understand? Please understand, prana's regulation helps in the control of physical body, betterment of the physical body as well as mind. Because we just spoke about the five sheets, Annamaya Kosha, the food sheet, the physical body, then Pranamaya Kosha, then Manomaya Kosha. So the Pranamaya Kosha is in between the Annamaya Kosha and the Manomaya Kosha. The gross aspect of the Pranamaya Kosha and the gross and the physical body put together from the gross body. The subtle aspect of the Pranamaya Kosha and the Manomaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha from the subtle body. Then Anandamaya Kosha is the causal body. Right? So the Pranamaya Kosha is the one which helps in the physical well-being as well as mental well-being. So by control of breath, you can control your mind, you can control your physical body. That's why they talk about breath control for anger management and all that. Right? In fact, all of them will be done simultaneously. The food control, breath control, etc. So, if you don't practice these things properly, correctly, it may have an adverse effect. Therefore, some teachers don't even talk about it. Because the enthusiasm is there in the student to go and try and practice. In the 12th chapter, whenever we get there, I will talk about it. But in the 12th chapter, Lord Krishna very beautifully says, better is knowledge and practice. Usually our understanding is what?
Practice
is better than knowledge. You say an ounce of practice is better than an ocean of theory. Yes. This is a sentence you heard many times. But now Lord Krishna is saying better is knowledge than practice. He is mentioning it because of these reasons. Certain practices, if you don't learn properly and practice, it will bring adverse effect. In the Mahabharata story, Kunti chants certain mantras and had to go through the repercussion. Now she begets karma. It is a science. If you play about with science, whether knowing or not knowing, you will have to face the consequence. So the science of pranayama, if you don't learn properly and do wrongly, it will have adverse effect. You understand? Unnecessary thoughts can be kindled and you will end up in different situations, difficult situations, dangerous things. Therefore they say better learn and then practice. If at all you do, general advice given by people is Puraka and Rechaka is fine, definitely don't do Kumbhaka. Right? Unless you have learned from the Guru. In fact, many things are scientific and we do not know the science. Like Lord Krishna says in the beginning of this chapter 4, due to the long lapse of time, this has been lost. This science has been lost. So a lot of people are just mechanically doing things, not realizing what kind of effects it can have. Right? So he is talking about control of breath. Puraka, Rechaka, Kumbhaka. So when you do pranayama, so you could do this pranayama as a sadhana. Remember, anything you do just for your selfish reason, then it doesn't become sadhana. Or mechanically, for example, every Tuesday I fast, every Wednesday I practice bhavana, every Saturday I go to Shani Mandir and do puja. Circumambulate Shani Bhagavan. Mechanically people do this. Right? That doesn't become sadhana. Sadhana means it has to be done consciously. And it should be done for kindling the right physical, mental attitude to be able to gain knowledge to reach the goal of self-realization. Then it is sadhana. So you have a purpose to do that, and that purpose is higher and not selfish. Then it becomes worship. Then it becomes sadhana. Otherwise, it ceases to be yajna. So this pranayama when you do, if you bring in the awareness, the inhalation, when you take in, you with awareness take in the inhalation, then you see the exhalation. In the exhalation, inhalation is kindled. In the inhalation, the exhalation is kindled. So prana is offered in one, apana is offered in one. In the other, prana and apana both are offered for breath, for the well-being of the individual at all levels, which in turn for others, sacrifice. In fact, when you say for others, as if I have to serve others, it's not in that sense. Understanding that I am also part of the whole. Right? So in fact, if you understand this concept of yajna, when somebody else's wealth goes up, you understand that your wealth is one because you are part of the same ecosystem. That is what Vishwarupa is. In Vishwarupa Darshan, in 11th chapter, when Lord Krishna talks about, Arjuna sees himself sticking somewhere and Karna somewhere. Everything is part of that one huge being. Right? So, when you understand it that way, then when others' wealth, as it were, is increasing, you don't look at it as others' wealth. It is my wealth. So then, like Ali proposes, it says, I'm a lover of happy human beings, as you can also say.
Otherwise, jealousy, greed, fighting, these are also the first words. Isa vasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat.
Dev chatter mudita magrudha prasyasya. Why do you covet others' wealth? Coveting.
Which Upanishad is?
Isa Vasya
Upanishad. Isa Vasya Upanishad.
First verse.
First verse.
Itself is, why do you covet others' wealth? Understand that the entire universe is covered by Isa. Means law, means Atma, self, whichever way you want to look at it. This knowledge we don't, I think I am separate from the total. This is the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is ego, which is risen out of ignorance of the true nature of oneself. Therefore, real education should take you to that knowledge of your oneness with the total. You understand? So this pranayama also should be done with awareness, then only it becomes pranayama again. Otherwise, like you are watching TV and then you are doing pranayama. And when the fight scene is going on, you really need to be able to, more faster. This is not pranayama yajna. Right? So, therefore, all this is talking about as sadhana, don't forget that. It's talking about 12 sadhanas, doesn't mean sadhana is only restricted to 12, many, many more. Right? So, inhalation with awareness, exhalation with awareness, retention with awareness. You practice. This is pranayama. When you do this, then you develop inner strength. As I told you, this inner strength is also for the well-being of everyone. When you function for the total, you are part of the total. When you work for your country, you are part of your country. When you work for your organization, you are part of your organization. When you work for your family, you are part of your family. So you are not excluded from it. Remember this. So thus he spoke about pranayama yajna in verse number 29, 11th yajna we have just done. Now, next one, 12th yajna. So, in the first line, 29, when he said, offer prana into apana, that is puraka, then offering apana into prana, that is vechaka, then restraining the course of prana and apana, that is kumbhaka, thus some are absorbed in pranayama yajna. Right? So at the physical level, mental level, intellectual level, prana level, at all level, you do activities with awareness, convert them as sadhana. To live, you need to eat, you need to breathe, you need to think, you need to perceive. All that you could convert them into worship. In fact, you go to the mandir, you do puja, prayer, only to develop this awareness so that rest of the time, with awareness, you are able to function. But lot of people, when they go and pray, they think the spelling of pray is P-R-A-Y only in the mandir. The moment they come out, the spelling of pray becomes P-R-E-Y. That is not the idea. Praying on others. You understand? Prayer should enhance your awareness and love and service. Otherwise it is not real. When you do prayer, it should increase your awareness. It should expand your love. It should make you do service. In Christianity, going to the church is called a service. That's the idea. But today a lot of people go to pray and make deal with God. 50-50. Right? If I get this, such as 50-50. So, this is not prayer. Prayer should develop awareness. Like Swamiji says, it's a full-time awareness of truth and not a part-time, pastime hobby. Next.
Aparediyatahara Pranam pranishu jubvati Pranam pranishu jubvati Sarve ete yajnya vidah Sarve ete yajnya vidah Yajnyakshapita kalmashaha Yajnyakshapita kalmashaha Aparediyatahara Pranam pranishu jubvati Sarve ete yajnya vidah Yajnyakshapita kalmashaha.
The 12th yajna that he talks about here is Ahara Niyama Yajna. Ahara Niyama Yajna. The control of food, regulation of food, any intake for the matter. Others with regulated food, Ahara Niyama, offer pranas into pranas. Prana Praneshu Jubati. All these are knowers of sacrifice. Sarve ete yajna vidah. They are knowers of sacrifice, meaning they know how to convert each and every activity into worship. And by sacrificing every activity, converting them into worship, they have destroyed their sins. They have removed all the obstructions. They have removed the agitations, the vasanas. Remember, yajna removes vasanas. Any activity which is not done in the spirit of yajna gathers vasanas. Our action gathers dust if you don't do it in the spirit of yajna. This we have seen. This is what he is saying here. When he talks about Ahar Niyama Yajna, food, in fact, the Upanishad say, one third of food which is gone out from the body, which is not needed, when the one third goes in the betterment of the body, then the one third goes in the formation of the mind. Right? In fact, in Ayurveda, they talk about food as the medicine and food as the poison. Right? What we take in food is both to be poison as well as medicine. In fact, when you talk about Ahara Niyama, it is both quantum and quality. In fact, they say in the scriptures, the food should be parinitam. Parinitam means regulated. How many times, how much, you mean? How many times and how much? Regulation, parinitam. Then just because it is regulation doesn't mean you can eat anything. I regulate, sir, only once in a week. I drink this, I drink that, I eat this, I eat that. To say, the next aspect of Ahara Niyama, they say, is the food should be hitam.
Hitam means
beneficial.
Good for you.
Not pleasing. Right? Parimitam and then hitam. Then amedhyam. It should not be spoiled. Like something which provides you with vitality. Not 3 days, 10 days, you keep it and then you eat. Nowadays you have the big freezers.
Yes.
Date wise you put it in the dabbas, right? 21st lunch, 21st dinner. And sometimes you have no choice, right? When you live. So this is what is happening. So what he says is, why are we taking him? Right? The food that goes in, you have a choice till it is put in. Once you put in, then it will start doing what it is supposed to do. All sorts of things. So regulate the any intake. Food doesn't mean only food. Every intake, perceptions. Through your eyes, ears, any intake. Parimitam, hitam, amedhyam.
From the other
senses,
from food, it is very easy to understand.
Everything, what you see, the seeing doesn't. See, for example, you see something. That seeing goes and stays in your mind. Then your mind is developing impressions on them. Why allow that thing to go in? We already spoken that in Dhamma Yajna also. Why allow that to go in and then you want to suffer? Right? It is not easy. You may say, I will control. I will not allow the thoughts to go. Existing thoughts itself you are not able to. The new things have come in and your mind keeps on going there. Unnecessary things. Don't love it. Go and check the quality. Then send it in. Like in the industry, which is producing steel. You want to produce best quality steel, you got to make sure that the raw material is also best quality. Raw material is third quality, third grade. And then first quality steel will you be able to produce? Impossible. What quality of intake? And quantum and quality. He is going to talk about regulation in the 6th chapter again. Meditation is not for people who eat too much, who don't eat at all, who sleeps too much or don't sleep at all. Right? Therefore he recommends regulation there also. It is impossible that you can succeed not only in spiritual field but in material field also without conscious regulation. And whenever we talk about regulation, we mean quantity and quality. The quality of food that you eat, right? You must be conscious of the quantity as well as quality. And while eating, be conscious also. You decided 3 times I'll eat. And you decided this food I will eat. But while eating, you are watching TV or on the phone or something, that's also not good. Right? So, Ahara Niyama Yajna, he talks about here, which has these three aspects: Parimitam, Hitam, and Amedhyam. So, there are other, some people practice Ahara Niyama, Upavasana. Upavas. A lot of people think upavas means fasting. Upavas literally means upavas.
Upa means near. Vas means reside. Stay.
Live.
Stay, live near what? God. Ishwara. Atma.
Listen. A lot of people practice upavas and to control their mind from going to food, watching movies.
All these things are not upavas.
Upavas is willful practice, conscious practice to stay closer to Atma. So you eat that type of food, different types of upavas are there. You practice fasting in such a way that your acidity increases, then you suffer. Rather than thinking of God, you will be thinking of hospital.
But in today's world, because that's what...
So I'm saying, God, that's people not understanding, then they have to practice that kind of upavas. That much food, not eat so much that you sleep. Eat too little that you are suffering from acidity and hunger. You listen. Basically, it is a tapas.
So that much is given to take care of this stomach so that I can reside with the heart.
Unnecessary, otherwise, you know, you've not provided for it. And it will bother you. To provide, then you concentrate, no problem.
So, Ahara Niyama Yajna means control of every intake. And
why do they do this? With this, what do? They offer pranas into pranasis. What is this? Pranas into prana. Prana, praneshu jubati. They offer prana into prana. What is this offering prana into prana? The pranas are pancha pranas that he is talking about here. The pancha pranas are prana, apana, samana, dhyana and udhana. The prana is that which aids in the physiological functioning of perceptions, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, all the pancha perceptions, the five perceptions. The prana, the vital air that aids in the five physiological functions of perception, basically. Right, especially prana refers to that perception. Then apana is that vital air which is aiding in the excretion. First one is prana, which is perception. Then apana, which is excretion. Then samana, what is it? Digestion. Then dhyana, what is that? Circulation. The digested food needs to be circulated. Then udana, thought absorption. The vital air that aids in perception is called as prana. The vital air that aids in excretion is apana. The vital air that aids in digestion is samana. The vital air that aids in dhyana, the circulation is dhyana. The vital air that aids in the thought absorption is udana. Right, pancha prana. Now, when the food control is not happening, the intake control is not happening, then that affects the pancha pranas also. The five physiological functions goes for a toss. Eating all sorts of things, digestion is upset. Right? Therefore, control of food helps in the what? Sacrificing the sick pranas into healthy pranas. So pranas into pranas means sick pranas are offered into healthy pranas. Therefore, when you eat food also, you can eat with that awareness. In fact, when you take shower, in the Vedic system they have mantras. If you do not know those mantras, no problem. Just say Rama, 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 Rama and
take shower, they say. Because it is not just physical cleansing that they are talking about. You know, psychologically they say when a person is disturbed, he goes on washing his hands every now and then. That's one symptom, they say. Right? So, in fact, you can try this out. First thing in the morning when you wake up, if you shower, after showering, generally, it is not that conducive for negative thoughts. You delay the showering. This is not necessarily that there is a cause and effect relationship, but it is conducive. Are you with me? So it has an effect. So therefore, intake of food, in that, the offering is what? Sick pranas are offered and the healthy pranas are kindled. And this establishes the inner strength, and this inner strength is invested, these pranas are invested in the external activity for the welfare of the total. Remember, always remember this, every sadhana is to develop oneself for the welfare of the total. Otherwise it is not sadhana. Otherwise it is just a selfish practice which kindles your ego. Then you become this and that for your welfare, not for the welfare of the entire universe. So, athare niyata haraha pranam praneshu jubate sarve pete yajnyandaha yajnya kshamita kalmasha. The idea is to remove the sin. Remember, sin means stagnation. Life means flow. The moment you try to stagnate your wealth just with yourself, similarly at the physical body level, you stagnate your actions. You want others to, you want to benefit from others' activity, but you do not want to contribute through your activity. You are committing sin. You want to partake in the others' wealth, but you do not want to distribute your wealth to others. At the material level, and at the physical level, activities. You want to intake, receive others' emotions, but you do not want to circulate emotions. Similarly, you want to take in knowledge, but you do not want to give. All these are sinful. Any stagnation is sinful. The fellow who has this selfish attitude of I must receive, receive, receive and not distribute, he will be sinful. He will be going through suffering. It is impossible that a person who understands the cycle and goes on distributing will be suffering. And the fellow who will not distribute, because he doesn't know, he doesn't have the knowledge, he thinks swelling is growth. Swelling is not growth. Swelling is dangerous. Growth is what? When you say the company, the country is growing. When is the country growing? When the exports are more, imports are less. This is what they call this current account deficit. Current account deficit means the country's exports are less, imports are more. So similarly, when you take in more, giving is less, it is sinful. Are you with me? Life should be to give and not to take. You will be free from sin when you live on this basis. Otherwise your life will not be free from sin. This is what he is saying. Will not be free from agitations. Will not be free from obstructions. Will not be free from worries and anxieties. Somewhere, if you are going through worry and anxiety, definitely selfish attitude is there. And which is impossible. So he says, all these are knowers of sacrifice, meaning they have gained this knowledge and they know and they do
convert activities into worship. Knowing does not mean theoretically. Doers of sacrifice means one who are actually converting work into worship. Activities into worship. Material, physical, emotional, intellectual, at all levels, they are only leading a worshipful life, converting life itself into worshipfulness. Thus, by sacrifice, they destroy the sins, mental agitations, vasanas, is what Ramakrishna says. So he has covered 12 yajnas. As I said, these 12 yajnas are not exhaustive. Many more. You can convert each and every activity into a
Om Purnamidam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.